The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. We originally had sociologist Elizabeth Sheff scheduled to be on the show today, but unfortunately she had an emergency come up. I just want to wish Elizabeth and her family well, and we will reschedule her soon, and you'll find all about it on the website. Today we are talking about queer, kinky erotica. First, we will talk to one of the original authors who paved the way for GLBT, queer, and BDSM erotic fiction, Laura Antoniou. Then later in the hour, we'll talk to one of the next generation of writers, Sinclair Sexsmith. Speaking of kinky and queer erotica, I want to put another plug out there for one of my latest projects, which is the book Sometimes She Lets Me, Best Butch Femme Erotica. This won a Lambda Literary Award for lesbian erotica, and it's now come out in audiobook form. But the difference is that this is the first book that I co-produced and narrated. So it's me telling you all these hot, hot, dirty, naughty stories. If you want to get it, you can go to audible.com and search for Sometimes She Lets Me or search for my name. You can give it as a gift. It's great. It's just a great, great book. I'm really proud of this project, and I hope it brings you joy and perhaps some inspiration. We are also live today, and so we're taking your calls. You can give us a call to talk to me and Laura Antoniou and later Sinclair Sexsmith at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. Laura Antoniou is one of the most published female writers of the queer BDSM erotic genre. Starting in the early 1990s at Masquerade Publishing, Laura was a prolific writer and editor of anthologies and magazines for Richard Kasich, who, incidentally, I used to work for back in the 90s. Antoniou's best-known novels are the Marketplace series, the first series ever to feature a transgender man as a continuing lead character. She considers herself a proud member of the, quote, middle-aged guard and has written dozens of short stories, essays, and other works in various genres for over 25 years. She's a winner of the NLA Lifetime Achievement Award and the Pantheon of Leather Lifetime Achievement Award, but she nevertheless intends to keep living for quite some time. A popular speaker on topics relating to alternative sexual practices, aka kinky sex, she has presented, taught, and ranted at over 150 conferences and events since the 1980s, delivering enlightenment, entertainment, and some indictments. She has also appeared at colleges and universities, including Harvard, NYU, Rutgers, Columbia, and the University of Washington. In 2010, she hit the world of ebooks as the marketplace moved to a new publisher, and Laura came out as Christopher Morgan, a best-selling writer of gay male erotica. In fact, that was one of Laura's pseudonyms, including the novel Musclebound. In 2013, Laura will be releasing three new books, a collection of marketplace fan fiction called No Safe Words, a comedy murder mystery titled The Killer Wore Leather, and the long-awaited sixth book in the marketplace series, The Inheritor. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Laura.
Hi, Tristan.
Laura, you truly were one of the very few out kinky queer authors in the 1990s. And I'm wondering how it was back then, both personally, because there were so few of you, and professionally, because there were so few places to publish your work.
Well, I have to say that it didn't seem like there was just a few of us. It seemed like there was a sudden renaissance of smutty queers popping out all over the place. And part of it was that there were more places to publish. We have physical magazines. And then part of it was, of course, Masquerade, that went from publishing pseudonymous quasi-Victorian porn to publishing almost every writer I know who's within 10 years of my age. And I was an early adapter of Masquerade.
Now, I want to talk about The Marketplace, which was first published by Masquerade. For those who might not be familiar with it, reviewers consistently describe The Marketplace series as setting a standard for contemporary SM erotica and also as classics in the genre. Set in a fictional universe where a worldwide consensual slave market exists, the Marketplace series follows the adventures of would-be slaves, the people who spot and train them, the owners, and the bureaucrats who ensure the continued existence of the marketplace. The challenges of honor, duty, obedience, and responsibility are threaded through the novels with a strong narrative that has deepened in each succeeding novel. In addition, the novels feature characters of all sexual orientations and gender identities. Now, these are some of my favorite books of all time in any genre. I just have to say that. I recommend them to newbies and old guard people alike. I just think that they're incredible. And they really are truly the definition of cult classics because everyone I know has read them. And that world has, like, taken on a life of its own. Plus, it's really stood the test of time. And so I'm wondering how you came up with this world that you created, which is so vivid, and I'm always thinking it actually exists.
Well, I think what most writers, if you press them up against the wall and force them to be truthful, will admit is that the key to this stuff is to steal from the best.
And so who do you steal from?
Well, primarily John Preston. John Preston was a gay male writer who died of AIDS, sadly, practically within 2 years of the first time I met him. But he wrote the seminal gay male BDSM novel, Mr. Benson, which inspired millions of gay men to get their freak on. And lesser known than Mr. Benson is his I Loved a Master series of books, in which he posits a worldwide slave owning and trading and training association. But, of course, his association is full of increasingly handsome, hunky gay men. I mean, in every book, they just get more and more gorgeous. And that's fabulous. But it wasn't the world I lived in, despite the fact that I know many gorgeous gay men. I wanted to read books that had female characters. And I wanted to read books that had people who were fat and curvy and older than 26. And so I wrote them. I wrote what I wanted to read.
But you really broke new ground in that, in a couple ways. I mean, one is that you have people of all different sexual orientations and gender identities. There's actually quite a variety. And the other thing is that you really set the standard for service. I mean, when people ask me about service within the BDSM community, I am more likely to recommend your books than I am sort of how-to self-help servicey books.
Well, you know, that might be wise. I've read many of the self-help books and the how-to books out there, and it's hard to pick winners every year. Let's just say that the BDSM community has no shortage of people with really strong opinions, and I'm one. But I put my opinions in fairy tales, and so I give people the permission to throw away whatever doesn't work for them and aspire to what turns them on or inspires them. And I think that's the difference between writing fiction and nonfiction. When I write fiction, I lose all culpability for what you do with what you've read.
One of the things you've done, which is really creative but also speaks to how popular these books are, is you have opened this fictional world to other writers. And you're about to do that for the second time with this book, which is called No Safe Words, a marketplace fan anthology. So tell me exactly what a fan anthology is and what people can expect with this book.
Well, it's really funny. For years, even though I have read fan fiction since I was a teenager, I have never been interested in participating in the culture of writing fan fiction. And fan fiction is basically a writer takes a previously existing story, narrative, or set of characters and proceeds to write their own adventures in that world. And fan fiction used to be mostly known for Star Trek fan fiction. And when I was a teenager, I found naughty Star Trek fan fiction. Really sexy stuff, Spock Enslaved being a fabulous example of the type. But I never wanted to write any, and in fact, I didn't have a lot of respect for people who did. But my publisher right now, Cecilia Tan, big fan fiction booster. She writes some herself and has for many years, and she has great respect for the genre. And over the years, as I playfully have argued with other writers about fan fiction, I came to realize that I have been writing fan fiction my entire life. Everything I've written is based on what someone else wrote before me. I mean, you could say that the marketplace is John Preston's network, only with more people in it. And they're not all gorgeous, hunky gay men. I steal from the best. And once I got over that, I said, well, why don't I open the marketplace then and let people write in it? Because I have seen other books about secretive worldwide slave trading societies since the marketplace came out. Many more in the past, say, 5 to 6 years, as e-books have really kind of taken over the world. And people want to write in that world anyway. Mine already comes with rules. And so I opened it up, and I had a couple dozen really interesting submissions and put together the best. And it's coming out shortly, like within 2 weeks, I think.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I read the first fan anthology, and I loved it. And I loved how different people sort of took these characters, some of which were major characters and others who were minor, and took them in all these different directions, really as far as their own imaginations could go. So I love this idea. Now, we've got to take a short break for a commercial to hear from our fabulous sponsors who make this show possible. But we will talk more about the marketplace, and I want to hear all about this new mystery novel. So let's just take a break for a commercial, and we will talk more with Laura Antoniou when we return.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from the Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to thank my fabulous sponsor, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody, specializing in high-quality sex toys and supplies. You can go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off your entire order, which is a really good deal, people. We are talking today with Laura Antoniou, the author of some of the best BDSM erotica in the world. And in March, Cleus Press is going to publish your very first mystery novel titled The Killer Wore Leather. And this is a departure for you in terms of genre. I'm wondering how this book came about, Laura.
I've been threatening to write this book for years. I have been going to leather events now since the 80s. I've produced one. I've gone to many more than I can actually remember, and I'm thoroughly steeped in the whole leather BDSM kink community mores. And it just occurred to me that it would be a really funny setting for a mystery novel, particularly if the detective knew nothing about the scene. And I got to display us in all of our wacky costumed glory.
What I'm excited about is I do feel like there's often BDSM in like murder mysteries in these crime procedural shows on television.
Sure.
But they always get it horribly, horribly wrong.
Yes. Not always. Sometimes they come very close to getting it right. I do appreciate the fact that these days, kinky sex on a crime show doesn't always mean that someone died in the middle of a sex act.
Well, right. But there's still too many like professional dominants wearing collars in these scenes for me.
the dominants in collars and the people who seem to have no other life except for when they show up at their pony play weekends and that sort of thing. And so, Really, I wanted to write a deliberate comedy set in the scene and to get away from the, oh, goodness, the drama and the darkness of the SM lifestyle. No, you know what? It's a bunch of people who dress funny and gather at conventions It's not like San Diego Comic-Con without the lasers.
I totally agree with you. And it's a very geeky, cerebral world with lots of actually socially awkward people. So I think it makes for a great comedy.
Exactly. And I've been doing readings from it for months now. And every time I read to a group of kinky people, they laugh hysterically because they recognize themselves and their friends in it. And let me tell you, I am not shy. I put myself in this book.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to read that. Well,
yeah,
when we talk about kinky erotica, I cannot ignore the $10 billion elephant in the room, which is, of course, 50 Shades of Grey, which has seemingly put SM erotica on the map. That's what the mainstream media will tell you. But I've got to get your take on what you think of these books.
The mainstream media has a severe case of amnesia, because it seems that every 10 years ago or so, they discover SM. And then they sit there amazed as they discover brand new stuff that no one has ever mentioned ever, that women have submissive manatees. I mean, thank God for the mainstream media to keep us abreast of things that, I don't know, we've known for thousands of years.
Go ahead.
Okay. When I was first reading Smut back in, 1980, I picked up Form and Variations. It might have been 1980, 1981. And that magazine, I think it might have been edited by B.K. McCarty at the time, packed full of people like Pat Califia wrote for them. And that was the magazine in which I first read an excerpt from Exit to Eden. So we had the beauty books. We had Exit to Eden. We had 9 1/2 weeks. And then there was a big to-do about Alyssa Wald's breakthrough short story collection, Meeting the Master. It made the cover of Time Out magazine. I think it was in Atlantic Weekly or something like Atlantic Monthly. And it was like, oh, my God, women have submissive fantasies. BDSM is going mainstream. And the only reason why no one made $90 billion out of this before is because of social media. And so now everyone can read this term that I loathe so much, mommy porn, on their Kindles and their Nooks. Well, you know what? They're also reading thousands of other smutty books on their Kindles and Nooks. The difference is that the majority of the people who write those books make less than $5,000 a year on their writing. And if you took 0.01% of what this lovely lady from England has written, it could probably support every erotic writer in the United States for a year so they could write their magnum opus. But instead...
But as someone who is in the scene and who practices BDSM and who loves dominance and submission, what do you think about the depiction of the dominant submissive relationship in the book?
It's hideous. I think it's a travesty. I think it's awful. I think the writing is juvenile. I think the depiction of the relationship itself is borderline psychotic. Christian Grey is a stalker who needs medication, and the woman he falls for is a naif whose blank slate character, it makes her even less of interest than the character she's based on, Bella from Twilight. And let me tell you, that's pretty uninteresting.
I agree with you. I mean, I just think that it's not... but it's somehow become a gateway. I mean, I always want to just point people to your books and say, you know, this stuff can be written about in a really well-crafted, intelligent, creative way. Like, the writing alone is such a turnoff to me. I wish people had higher standards.
Yeah, well, if you read the supportive reviews on various bookseller websites for the people who love the book, you will see that they're literacy level is not quite up there at the top of the charts. They are reading in their comfort zone, which is slightly less than fifth grade reading level by my measuring standards. And they don't mind things like internal discrepancies and, of course, a virginal heroine who can learn to orgasm by having a duck twiddle her nipples.
Yeah, and also orgasm, first time she has sex without clitoral stimulation. That's one of my favorite highlights of the book.
I really feel sorry for our friends over at the Smitten Kitten who must get a woman in there every week asking for magical Benoit balls.
Well, I don't know. Benoit balls are paying the rent for some of these companies, so we can't knock Benoit balls.
Can you imagine how many of them are getting calls saying they don't work the way they do in the book? Oh, it's because nothing does me.
That is an actual thing that people, buyer's remorse. Well, you're also a speaker and a teacher on a lot of this stuff. And I think you have a great perspective because you've been in the BDSM community for quite a long time. And so I'm wondering from your perspective, what you see as one of the most significant changes in the world of kink and leather.
Right now, the biggest change that I see is the shift in away from large gatherings. I was fortunate enough to come out in a time when they were really just beginning. I went to early Living in Leathers and that sort of thing. And there was a time when you could go to a BDSM event where there would be 1,000 people there. This is not happening anymore. Mostly because we have been splintered into smaller and smaller communities. The gay men have picked up their balls and run off to online hookups to the point that leather bars are becoming a rarity. Why do you need to go and hang out in a bar all weekend long when you could just hook up online and then find a mutual place to go and mess around? The more pansexual community is splitting into interest factions, the bondage people versus the general BDSM people, the master-slave people versus, well, everyone else. And I think what is happening is a kind of balkanization of the scene, where once you find the one thing you like best, you can only associate with other people who also like it best and never kind of hang out with the whole crowd. And I feel sad about that. I like the variety of a large gathering. I like not knowing what everyone in the room is into. But I haven't kicked the bucket yet. We'll see what it turns into next.
I think that's an interesting observation because the internet and certainly FetLife have kind of, you know, whittled down people into these very, very specific niches. But to me, the beauty of being at these big gatherings is that you'd meet people and you'd find out what their kinks were and you'd be like, I don't even know anything about this. And in some cases, it was kind of great because you were like, I want to find out about this. So I'm glad I ran into you because this interests me. And so I hope that people aren't separating so much that they can't kind of cross-pollinate, which is where, you know, some of the best growth in our sexuality, I think, happens.
Absolutely. And also, I enjoy seeing people who are passionate about things that I am not personally into, because sometimes they can trigger in me, if not actual arousal, an excitement on their behalf. I can say, okay, pony play, not my thing, but look at those people having so much fun over there doing that. I want to watch. I want to participate in what they're doing. I want to increase the pleasure they're getting by doing this in a group setting where people are supportive. And I think that's a really valuable thing to do that I hope more and more people will open themselves to, because otherwise we'll all just be meeting in our separate classrooms, repeating the same things to each other in order to reassure ourselves that we're fine.
I could not agree with you more, and I wish we could talk more, but we are out of time. So I have to thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Laura. I've got to have you back, even if it's just for you to talk about when these new books come out. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tristan.
Laura Antoniou is the author of the Marketplace series of novels, and her three new forthcoming books, No Safe Words, The Inheritor, and the comedy murder mystery, The Killer Wore Leather. To find out more about her, go to lantoniou.com. That's lantoniou.com. Follow her on Twitter at lantoniou. All of these links can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to writer and educator Sinclair Sexsmith about their new anthology, Say Please, Lesbian BDSM Erotica. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to thank one of my fabulous sponsors, WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. Continuing our discussion tonight of queer, kinky erotica, remember that we are live and we're taking your calls at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio or facebook.com/AskTristan. let me tell you about our next guest. Sinclair Sexsmith is a leather daddy who has been pursuing kink since the Telnet chat rooms of the mid-1990s. They study embodiment and sensation from subtle to bold in a postmodern queer tantric lineage and combine gender theory with power dynamics for potent psychological play. Since 2006, they have produced the award-winning website Sugar Butch Chronicles, the sex, gender, and relationship adventures of a kinky queer butch top at sugarbutch.net. Contributing to more than 20 anthologies, including 5 Best Lesbian Erotica editions, and my anthology, Take Me There, Trans and Genderqueer Erotica, Mr. Sexsmith is the guest editor of Best Lesbian Erotica 2012, and the editor of Say Please, Lesbian BDSM Erotica, both of which are published by Cleus Press. They are on the board of the upcoming 2013 Butch Voices Conference, produce programs for the Lesbian Sex Mafia in New York City, and serve the Body Electric School as a workshop coordinator. Sinclair prefers the pronouns they and them and the masculine honorific, Mr. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Mr. Sexsmith. May I call you Sinclair?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sinclair. So you've contributed erotic stories to more than 20 anthologies. I'm wondering how you decided to edit your own collection.
Mostly the Say Please collection came together because I think there's a pretty distinct lack of lesbian BDSM erotica. There's a lot of lesbian erotica and there's a lot of BDSM erotica, and some of that even overlaps, but if you're looking exclusively for erotica that is more kinky and that explores all sorts of aspects of sensation play or power play, there's not a one singular source to go to get it. So it was really essential to add some of that voice into the marketplace, I think.
And what surprised you most about the process of editing a kinky erotica collection?
What surprised me most? I think it really surprised me how many people that I knew submitted stories. And it surprised me how many really, really good stories I got. I thought I'd have to scrape for stories, but I had more than I could put into a book, and that was really thrilling.
And so do you anticipate doing another one?
I would love to, yeah. I don't have current plans to do it for sure, but I would love to. I had a lot of fun and I loved reading all the submissions and kind of sorting them into yes, no, maybe, and just going through the organizing process of trying to find an arc and what, you know, what would be good to open the book with and what would be good to close with. And I mean, you've edited a whole lot of erotica too, so you've probably gone through that process dozens of times now.
In the introduction to this anthology, Say Please, you write that domestic discipline, dominance, and submission are among your personal favorite fantasies. I'm wondering if you want to elaborate on that a little.
Oh, gosh. Elaborate on that. Well, I tend to write a lot of erotica from what I find hot and sexy. So a lot of the stuff that I write is based on my own fantasy life and based on not just that, but my own experiences. So how would I elaborate on that aside from, I could tell you some stories.
But I mean, of everything that really encompasses BDSM, would you say that dominance and submission and power exchange is your favorite part of it?
It's hard to choose a favorite. Luckily, I don't have to choose only one. It's definitely very high up there of importance to me. And I was just saying to a friend that I wouldn't really want to have a relationship without an aspect of rough sex in it, but and that's probably true of I don't know how much I would have a significant, you know, sexual relationship with someone that didn't have some sort of aspect of power play. But it's also true that I wouldn't want to have a significant relationship with someone that didn't have some aspect of really sweet sensual sex too. So I guess I have a lot of expectations for that kind of connection, that I wanted to have a wide range.
And what would you say are your criteria that make for a really hot erotic story?
I would say, I'm particularly interested in stories that have a lot, that make me get really lost in them. So they have to be particularly well written. They don't have to be incredibly well developed in a kind of character plot setting kind of way. Although I think you can get away with a whole lot when you're a really good writer. And so the good writing is paramount for sure. And I would much rather have a story that is 10 pages of dirty smut and then, you know, one paragraph of plot and character than I would have one paragraph of dirty smut and 10 pages of plot and character. That's just me. I mean, I like plot and character a lot, but I read fiction for that mostly.
Okay, so you want more sex than story.
Yeah, I want more sex than story, and I want more more dirty sex, too. Not just like, and then she had one finger in, but dirty, good stuff. And dirty talk, dialogue, and good, like, $10 words, you know, fancy words. I like that stuff.
That's a complicated little formula. Both fancy words, but not too highbrow, not too much build up with the character and the storyline. More dirty talk. That's kind of a hard combination. You sound hard to please.
It's kind of a lot, but I'm also very flexible. I think that would be ideal. And I like whatever turns me on, I think is a good place to start.
Now, I think in your own fiction that you write and in some of what you teach about, you talk a lot about gender and gender identity among queer people. And I'm wondering what you've seen in the past 10 years on the gender frontier in terms of how gender has changed, how we write about it, how it relates to sex.
Oh, wow. I think it's changed so significantly in the last 10 years. I mean, I see so much different in reflected in the erotica, particularly, than I used to. And when I started reading erotica with really the best lesbian erotica series, I think it was the 1999 edition that I broke the spine of in many places. There wasn't a lot of variation in the character's gender presentation or identity. Or there wasn't, maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but there wasn't enough. And I see tons more of that now reflected in all of these things. I've often explained that Say Please has a subtitle of lesbian BDSM erotica, but that not all the characters identify as lesbian and not all the contributors identify as lesbian either. Some of them are identify as trans, some of them are trans characters, and some identify as therefore kind of straight or as fags and not necessarily as lesbians.
Well, I ran into this with Best Lesbian Erotica, probably from collection number one in 1996, that of constantly sort of reminding people, I know this says lesbian on the cover, but just loosely interpret that phrase because it is a marker. It's a marker for marketing and for the publishing industry, but it seems to be less and less meaningful for people as we've expanded our language of gender and of desire.
Yeah, I completely agree. And people have really rejected it. And at the same time, I think that it's really important. It has been a really important word and language and label for me to find a lineage and to find a history, and that there have always been, you know, sexual deviants and gender deviants and people who have not fit into the lesbian norm or lesbian ideal in that history, and that if I looked in that history long enough, I'd find people like me. So I challenge a little bit of the rejection, but I also understand where it's coming from, that we're moving toward more inclusivity and more broadness of identity, which I appreciate.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we've got to take a break and hear from some of our fabulous sponsors who make this show possible. But coming up, I want to talk more about Kinky Erotica, as well as your famous website, the Sugar Butch Chronicles, and maybe if we get to it, the Body Electric School. So, more Sex Out Loud with Sinclair Sexsmith when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are talking today about queer kinky erotica, and we are talking with writer and editor Sinclair Sexsmith about their new anthology, Say Please, Lesbian BDSM Erotica. Well, Sinclair, I've got a question from Charos on Facebook, who asks, how much of your sex life is depicted in your erotic stories?
Oh, that's a revealing question. A lot of it, I would say. Most of the stories, a lot of the stories that I've written are based on scenes that I've had, and a lot of the stories that I've written are purely fiction are based on scenes that I've had or fantasies that I've had. So a lot. I think that it's been easiest to delve into the I was going to say the meat of it, but as a vegetarian, I try not to use that phrase. But the kind of depth of the scene, when it's feelings that I've had and I can apply my own experiences even if it's not exactly the same experience, I can superimpose my own experience on top of it and make it a deeper depiction of what's happening. So, yeah, a lot. I hate to be too personal about that, but and I do like to challenge myself to write things that are not my personal kink or not my personal experience, but I find the most successful ones are much more personal.
We also have another question on Twitter from Lily Lloyd, who asks, how can people use reading and writing erotica to explore their own sexuality?
Oh, that's a great question. I think reading erotica is an excellent way to explore your own sexuality. Just read voraciously. Read everything you can find. Read all the anthologies. Read, there are a lot of anthologies that are kind of identity-based, like lesbian erotica or daddy erotica or whatever, but there's also erotica that's more specifically kink-based, like spanking erotica or something like that. So if you, narrow down broadly enough that this one thing you're interested in, you can end up finding a whole lot of range in there that you may or may not know is your own, is a kink for you. So suspending your own disbelief is a great way to discover that stuff when you're reading erotica too, because often you come into it having your own thinking. I know my erotic landscape. I know what my own sexuality is. So clearly this story isn't going to do it for me. I'll just skip it.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you that I think people should sort of ignore these labels and not necessarily say, okay, that's in that section of the bookstore or that says gay man on it, so I should skip over it. Because I think when I talk to people about the kinds of stories that turn them on, they're often entirely outside of their own identity, their own sexual orientation, their own experience. And I think that that's healthy and really fun to explore something that isn't necessarily marketed directly at you.
Absolutely. Well, I think the ways that we have kind of fucked with gender in recent years also means, and the ways that there's not been enough erotica written for the particular gender combinations that I like, means that I read gender onto characters all the time. So I read a lot of straight erotica that is not what my sex life looks like at all, but I can kind of impose myself and my lovers on top of that because I can, I guess, because it's fictional. It's that I don't have to be literal to what characters are doing.
Well, right, and I think if you are interested in masculine people who have sex with other masculine people, that can take a lot of different forms. And
right.
It's really just about the masculinity and less about these hard and fast identity categories.
Yeah, that's a great point. And same with femininity, although there's a lot less of a range of that, I think.
Yes, I would agree.
In published right now. So we should have more of that published.
Absolutely. Now, on your website, The Sugar Butch Chronicles, one of the things that you've done recently is you've been doing a series of open relationship mini interviews of real people in non-monogamous relationships. And I'm wondering, what inspired this project?
That inspired because I've recently been exploring more non-monogamy personally, and I've read The Canon, I've read Opening Up, I've read Ethical But I've read, there's a couple of those two come to mind specifically. And Love in Abundance is another recent one. They were great introductions. And then as things got stickier and stickier, I needed more insight and I needed more of a tribe to go to have little pearls of wisdom. And like with many things, my friends are often, my community at large, my friends being a kind of smaller community, to that point, they're often the greatest source of information about things like this. And I'm not doing it in a vacuum. I'm not doing it totally alone with nobody who's ever done it before. But I often feel like that because there's not enough data out there or people out there talking about it. So I started reaching out to friends and smarty pants people that I knew to say, like, hey, will you write about a couple of little things for me? And then I put it a little bit of an open call for people to submit their own experiences who were readers or followers of Sugar Butch. And they, it really took off. There's been about 3 interviews so far, and there's still a few more coming.
What is some of the most valuable advice you've gotten from the people you've interviewed?
Well, I wouldn't say that they've specifically given me advice, but it was definitely, thinly veiled because I asked them what they would give, what kind of advice would they give their younger self about poly. And there have been a lot of little concepts and pearls of wisdom that I've taken away that I chew on and think about. Somebody was writing about the idea of letting each relationship take its course and not altering it or getting in the way just as much as possible, which I thought was a sweet idea. Someone else was writing about the breadth of relationship versus depth, and I think that was an interesting concept to chew on. So each interview really has had a little piece of something that's been fascinating. Charlie Lippman just wrote one the other day for me and was writing about how being poly doesn't make you more evolved, although some people seem to think it does.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. Lots of people, I think, make that assumption, and that was sort of propagated at the beginning of the poly movement, that polyamorous people were somehow smarter, more knowledgeable, and more ahead of the curve, which isn't necessarily true.
Right, but still is prevalent, I think. Yeah.
Well, I love this book, Say Please, and I hope more people pick it up, including those of you who don't necessarily identify with the word lesbian. You can simply disregard that on the cover. Really, no one will judge you for it. But we're out of time. So I want to thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Sinclair.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sinclair Sexsmith's anthology is Say Please, Lesbian BDSM Erotica, published by Cleus Press and available at bookstores everywhere. Find out more about all their work at MrSexsmith.com and on the site Sugar Butch Chronicles at sugarbutch.net. You can also follow Sinclair on Twitter at MrSexsmith. All of these links, as well as those from my other guest, Laura Antoniou's work, and more, can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, including executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and Ryan for tonight pitch hitting, and everyone at Voice America. I also want to thank my final sponsor, Astroglide. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample by going to their website, astroglide.com. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guests will be authors Charlie Glickman and Aislinn Emerson, talking about their new book, The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, Erotic Exploration for Men and Their Partners. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.